The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.
Welcome to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. I am Lorianne Kazdia. Our goal here at Healthy Lifestyle is to inspire, educate, and empower you to fulfill a healthy emotional, spiritual, and physical life so you can feel empowered to live the life you have always wanted and dreamed. I hope you are having a wonderful day. I know I am, and I'm feeling very empowered today because of our guests. I'm so happy to have Dawn and Lita here. They are here to really talk about something that you're not going to expect. They are from Almost Home Animal Rescue, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization established in 2007 by a group of dedicated animal lovers. And you know, I'm an animal lover. So when I ran into Lita, I just fell in love with her and her whole organization and said, you must come on and tell more people about you. Their mission is to rescue unwanted animals from private homes and municipal shelters and place them into responsible, loving homes. And so we have Dawn here. She is the Cattery Manager. I love that title. And Lita is our volunteer extraordinaire, a friend of mine, and so amazing human being. I'm sure you are too, Dawn. I just don't know you as well as I know my good friend here, Lita. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my gosh, so happy. So let's talk about Almost Home Animal Rescue. I know it started back in 2007. How did it start? I know I explained a little bit in the opening why it started, but let's tell a little history.
So I think that basically a really dedicated group of people working together with another shelter had decided, our president, Linda Clample, had decided to form her own rescue. And the group of people with her, they were so bonded and just worked really well together that they joined forces and said, okay, we're going to begin Almost Home. They began in foster with fosters and eventually went into a building in Bohemia. And then in 2017, we moved to Patchogue.
You're at 646 Medford Avenue, right? In Patchogue?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're across from Restigio's.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the Leslie Pool Supplies area?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm at Leslie's Pool about once a month for my hot tub. So that's where Almost Home is located. And what type of animals does Almost Home give rescue to?
We rescue dogs, cats, bunnies, critters, guinea pigs.
Ferrets. I mean,
ferrets,
even a mice one time we had, found a home for.
Oh, you found a home for the mice?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Well, what started you in this business, Dawn?
So I retired from the restaurant business and my cat got out. And I was searching for her for days, and I met people that were involved in rescue. And the passion just started to come. They were so diligent with helping me find her. And when I did, I had gotten into TNR, which is Trap, Neuter, and Release. And then I found a position with Almost Home, and I love it.
Oh,
absolutely
my goodness.
Love it.
So it's a give back based on a challenge you had in your own life. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny how we always find our purpose from the very challenges that are put in our life?
Yes.
It's like the universe giving us nudges and nods and winks and whispers saying, this is where you need to be because you find your passion.
Never exactly. Thought I'd be here.
Yeah, it's so great. I love, when I found my passion, I never thought in a million years I'd be a success coach. That was like the farthest thing from my mind. And when I actually found it, what I found, and I'm finding this consistently with my clients and with other people that I speak to in my industry, is when you're doing something you love, time eludes you. It's not something that you're like, oh my gosh, it's 2:00. How did that happen? I'm just in a state of joy by doing what I'm doing because it's my passion. You find the same?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never want to leave the animals.
Yeah, I know. And they're so cute. You have a place too. There's, because I was at it down on Main Street.
It's Sayville.
And what's the name of that place?
The Shabby Tabby.
Cat Cafe.
Oh my God, the Cat Cafe is adorable.
Yes. We partnered with them a little bit over 2 years ago. Ryan founded the first Cat Cafe on Long Island which was in 2018. She had another rescue partner, but then we partnered with her. Fantastic place. I mean, and she's amazing with all the animals. Her and her staff are amazing.
Yeah, when I went in, because we were doing a fundraiser, I was working with Lita to do a fundraiser for Almost Home. And when I went in there, it was like you go in and it's their world. And when we went in, you open the door and there's cats everywhere, like in the cutest places. Like there was one who stuffed themselves into this like can. And I was just like, how did you even fit in there?
And so, one constantly wanted jewelry.
Yes, one constantly was like trying to wear my jewelry. So yeah, she was very interested in it. But the cutest thing I found, and this was like, I still remember this moment, is I saw this young woman and her significant other sitting there, and she's sitting in this like little area that you have, and she's just hugging and loving up this kitty. And I was like, are you taking her home? And she's like, absolutely. That you could just see that they got to connect. And it was a fait accompli, because you know, she fell in love right there.
And it's like a home setting.
Yeah.
So they're not as stressed as well, and their true personalities get to shine through. So it's a very relaxed, beautiful area for everybody.
And they're playing with you. The cats are playing with each other and rolling around and, you know, very inquisitive. And I love that about cats. They're very inquisitive. And these cats are so sweet. Like they were coming up to me. I didn't expect that because I'm used to cats. They like ignore me. And they were coming up and they just wanted to say hello. Wanted to see who
see
I was.
See what you have. What's see in what the bag.
What's in the bag. Went through the bag. Jumped in the bag. It was so cute. It was really adorable. That was a good evening, wasn't it?
Yes.
Lita?
Yeah. Yes.
It was a lot of fun. So you take all those different animals. So what's the adoption process like? When I go in there and like that young woman and her significant other, they decided to get, what's the process?
So basically, and the Shabby is very similar to us where, you know, they would go in, fill out an application, provide a photo ID, and then we allow them to look at our pets because we just, especially specifically dogs, we can't walk people through the kennels. It excites them too much. Excuse me. If they fall in love with an animal, then they would place a monetary hold and we would process the application.
Why do you take the application first? What's the thought process between taking it first?
So the application, we take the copy of the license to match the address and make sure that that is number one correct. If they've had previous animals within the last 5 years, we do a vet reference for those animals. If they're renting, we do a landlord check and verification. All of our dogs need to have a home visit done.
Is that before they get to even see the animals and fall in love? Or is that just because it seems like you do the application, then you get to see the animals?
Right. You do the application first, then you place a hold, and then we process it. Okay. So all the vet check and the landlord check and all of that would be done if they place a monetary hold, non-refundable monetary hold.
Got it.
And then two personal references.
Got it.
And then once approved, they can come get their baby.
So and if they're, if something happens where the landlord's like, no dogs, do they get that hold back?
No, they do not. It's non-refundable.
Really?
It's just a small amount.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a...
It's only $50.
It's a placeholder.
Yeah.
It's a placeholder to... Which is good because those monies go towards supporting the animals and care of the animals and, you know, giving them houses and finding them houses and doing those checks costs money for you, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Where do most of your animals come from?
Wow. We do try to take in most of our animals are local. So they are from Suffolk, Nassau, the city. We do take from down south. We've taken from Georgia. We've taken from North Carolina, South Carolina.
Puerto Rico, I understand. Too,
yes,
right?
That's Puerto Rico
and
is the
Thailand.
Big, yeah, Puerto Rico is a big need right now. And there's different foundations like Thailand. We have the Soy Dog Foundation. We just bought
and you bring them here to New York?
Yes.
And do you guys transport them in? Is that at your cost or at another organization's cost?
It's mutual, two different organizations. They have their end and then we have ours.
So what's happening in Puerto Rico and Thailand that you're having such an influx?
Well, Puerto Rico, I think, is more, and I am the cat lady, but more of an overpopulation issue than anything. Thailand is the meat trade. I mean, we're trying to save animals from the dog meat trade. The Soy Dog Foundation is...
Yeah, all the dogs from Thailand are feral.
Yeah.
And you would never know. They're not like feral cats. And most of them are just running the streets. A lot of them come in as tripods. A lot of them have burn marks.
Okay, hold on. Tripods, three legs.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And a lot of them, they're very skittish, afraid, they're flight risks. So we have these special collars that we have so that, God forbid, they do get out. We could track them. And when they first come, they're only allowed in the yard. They're not allowed to go on walks. And they'll hide from cars. They'll eat rocks just to fill their bellies.
Oh.
People are very mean and abusive to them there. And what they do is they capture them and they kill them for their meat.
So in Thailand, they're utilizing it as a food source.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's like hunting deer here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea.
Yes.
That's in Thailand.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. In Puerto Rico, it's a
overpopulation
issue. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. How did you find out about this?
Linda Klumpfel.
Yeah.
She's the one who's gotten somebody in touch.
President of the organization, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Either got in touch with her, which is the Soy Dog Foundation, and she's a phenomenal woman. She's got a heart of gold. And she never turns her back on anyone, even, you know, we're always in the red, but she'll, doesn't matter. She will never say no for an animal.
And it's Soy Dog Foundation, S-O-I, right. Dog Foundation.
S-O-I, yes.
And they you guys send them over, they come over here.
Yes, they stopped. In the beginning, it was a lot, regularly. Then they stopped they were saying with rabies, but they're quarantined. The Soy Dog Foundation takes these dogs and they are quarantined before they're allowed in here. That's
right.
Why when they do come to JFK, we can take them right away.
Right.
However, somebody decided that, nope, they stopped it because of rabies. But now a small window opened, so we just received two. They got a home immediately. And now we're expecting two more. So I hope they stop this rabies ban because these dogs are, we're their only hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to get out from there. And they are wonderful, wonderful dogs.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, these last two we had, they melted. All they wanted was love. Your heart just instantly melted.
Isn't that all we all want?
Yes. Yeah. But the fact that they lived on the streets.
Yeah.
And they were abused and hurt by people. And yet they come and they're still so open and loving.
Yeah.
It really makes you, you know, say, we need to be more like them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. So forgiving, so open.
Forgiving and, yeah, and loving. And right. You know, moving on.
Exactly.
And many people do. You know, we've all been through trials and challenges in our lives, and you have a choice. You can stay stuck and be angry, and that doesn't really get you anywhere. Or you can move on and just understand that was your experience and what were you supposed to learn from it. It's not like a dog can sit there and say, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this person, you know, beating the bejeebas out of me or chasing me down the street? And I don't know if they cognitively understand. Although I think, you know, my pup is the smartest pup in the world. She understands what I'm talking about. So I just recently was doing something and I said to her, do you need water? And she just did a little spin, you know? So I was like, oh, okay, you need water. And my partner was like, yeah, she understands. Did she answer you? And I said, well, she did. She spun.
Yep.
You know, that's her happy dance. That's a yes for her. And so he was like, oh, you know, so they're smart. So it breaks my heart that there are actually humans out there.
And they also read from our cues. Them.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. We're actually giving them the answer without us realizing we're doing that. That's how in key and intuitive they are to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I still really think that my pup trained me. I thought I was training her, but she really trained me. Because like I do whatever it is she needs. But I think this is a terrible story, yet a beautiful ending where you're giving them homes when they really had not a lot of choices. And so, you know, here's an example of us working worldwide together to really do something good. And we need to lift this and shout it from the top of the buildings to let everybody know that it exists. It's out there. And there are wonderful people like yourselves who really just freely give your love and your time. I know, Lita, you volunteer. When did you get involved in volunteering with this, and what made you do that?
Other than
the fact that you have a heart of the size of this building.
Well, I always wanted to volunteer, and I started for a different organization in 2007, and I did pet therapy. I had my dog. And then I always wanted to do shelters or rescues. There is a difference between rescues and shelters.
And which is that? What is that?
Shelters are municipally owned by the town. Mm-hmm. Okay, every town has one, and they have financial backing, okay? Whereas rescues are non-for-profits that are based, you know, mostly on volunteers and rely heavily on donations. That's our only source. If the donations don't come in, we can't do what we do.
Right. And that's why there's a moderate fee when you do actually take a
bottle. Yeah, you know, people don't realize, oh, how much? You know, but if you did all the vetting, the food, the shelter, and everything else, products like flea, tick, heartworm.
Yeah. Do you have an on-site vet, or do you have a vet that you use?
We do.
We have our Almost Homes vet just is Dr. Liguori. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. We are going to have him on site in April. We're in the process of taking care of that, building mm-hmm. the clinic area within the rescue. We do deal with other, specifically with the cats also, we do deal with other vets at times or specialty surgeons that we've used for, like Dr. Infernuzzo in East Meadow. We've used him for dogs and cats that need serious surgeries and things that we cannot provide for them. And sure. We usually have people come together and donate money for us and help us. And they really, truly help the animals.
Yeah, so. Do the vets donate their time or give you a significant discount?
No, they do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so our vet volunteers all of his time. I mean, he does not charge us anything. And other vets within the area that other rescues use also do give rescue discounts. And it's just so important. I have a cat today being operated on with polyps in his ear. And Dr. Infernuzzo, who's the best on Long Island, is giving us a 50% discount.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So instead of the surgery being $7,000, it's going to be $3,500.
Yeah.
And then we have people pulling together to handle the rest because this was an emergent situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, but there are certain vets that really, truly work with rescues.
Yeah.
Our vet, Dr. Liguori, and then just numerous local vets. Long Island Spay and Neuter, Integrative Pet Therapies, Grady Animal Hospital. There's just a number of different vets that work great with rescues.
Yeah, I love that. Plug them, plug them, plug them. So, by the way, I love your shirt. It says Think Positively, and it's cat positive. Yes. I love it. I just love it. It's such a cute shirt. So, I think it's great that, and I want to speak a little bit more in our second half about, you know, fundraising. What do you do? How do you bring funds in? How are donations, you know, how can somebody make donations and things like that? You have a website that people can go to?
Sure. It's almosthomeli.org.
Almosthomeli.org. And can they see some of the animals that you have when they go to that site?
Absolutely. Yes.
So, yeah. So when they come in, do you like articulate how long they've been with you? Do you have a lot of long stay pets with you?
I would say percentage wise, we really do not. I think that we do a very nice job of getting animals adopted. The cats are a little bit more difficult because we do take from all over in respects to that. Sometimes we'll take from a trapper who does TNR, and a cat may not be as friendly. And it could take 2 years to socialize a cat.
Yeah.
I mean, it can take months and months and months.
So that's from being feral to being
home, just not
home
used
ready.
To human touch, you know, and we don't euthanize for that reason.
Yeah.
They're with us until either they're adopted or if we have sanctuary placement, but we make sure that they're safe.
And what sanctuary placement?
There's a few places that have cats outdoors. They feed, they have free roam of land, they have houses, they have, you know, and there's various places. So, you know, there's one in Suffolk County, one out east, there's one in Maryland, and then barn cats too. I mean, there's numerous outlets for cats, whereas dogs is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, cats actually, fun fact, I don't know why I know these things. They're in Suffolk County, there's actually a law on the books that allows you to have cats roaming because they take care of the critters who used to negatively impact the crops.
Yep.
So cats are actually very... are legal to be feral. It's just that they get into trouble, and because of our population, sometimes, you know, bad things happen to them. So we do have these places, but cats can run free, and they don't have to be collared or anything like that, where dogs have to be.
Yes.
And I always thought, as a dog owner, I was like, why is that? And I think that's why I know that fun fact. But fun fact, if you ever wanted to know that, you have some useless information. When you started doing this, Lita, what keeps you in it?
Oh, without a doubt, the animals. Always. That's always been my... I was always a little girl coming home with a feral animal infested with fleas. Mom, can we keep it? Can we keep it? And I just... I've always known the love unconditionally, how they help you. I've seen it with working dogs, how people who have problems, you know, dealing with people when they have their dog with them, they're different.
Calmer, yeah.
And I've always, my whole life, loved animals, and I've always wanted to dedicate my life to that. And then in 2007, I was given the opportunity, and I was with working dogs, which really blew my mind. And then I wanted to get into rescue, because when you're working with guide dogs and service dogs, they're the cream of the crop. You never have to worry about them. They're well taken care of.
Yeah, without a doubt. I want to come back, circle back to that. You're listening to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more about rescuing our furry friends. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. Oh my gosh, I can't get my mouth to work today. I am Lorianne Casdia. If you'd like to be a guest or lift up your business, product, or not-for-profit, or if you just have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. We answer every single one of our emails personally. Just email us at healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. That's healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. So, ladies, oh my gosh, you were talking about, you know, all the love that you have for it. But I just want to circle back. In the break, you mentioned, because I love that, I love, love, love your shirt, your Think Positive. Talk about that. That's actually a program that your rescue got selected for, and it's very selective, to participate in. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So Jackson Galaxy is a huge cat behavioralist. I mean, he's phenomenal. He has Greater Good Charities. He just does a tremendous amount of work with kitties. We applied for his Cat Positive 2022 training program, and were chosen as one of 12 shelters to participate, which was awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It's basically, I mean, it's clicker training for cats. It's basically, you know, training them that if they do a certain behavior for you, they're going to get a treat, or they're going to get a pet. There was one cat that wouldn't let us touch him for about a year and a half. And I just kept with the churros. You want? I'm going to pet you. It took me like 6 months, but he was adopted. And he's doing fantastic. And it's just nice. Cats are very smart. And they're creatures of habit. So as soon as they see the churro, some of them will know, I want to give you a high five. And it's just amazing to watch the transformations.
Wow.
It's just because you think, oh my goodness, this cat needs so much help. And there's actually something to help. Whereas dogs are a little bit easier, I think, to train, and cats are just, you know, they've got their minds of their own, and they, you know, but it just was wonderful. I was so truly blessed that we could be a part of that. It was amazing.
That is amazing, and congratulations to you. You also have an outreach program called the Training Wheels.
Yes, we do.
Talk to us about that.
So Training Wheels is specifically called Training Wheels because it's to help people educate people, provide spay neuter, you know, resources and get them the education and the resources they need, and then eventually for them to ride on their own, so to speak. So we go to low income areas. We provide food. We will help educationally. We've provided shelters in the past. I mean, it's really another way of giving back for what people do for us.
Right.
We're giving back to our local communities and people who need.
Yeah.
And humane education is extremely important. People being aware, you know, sometimes people don't know that they need to do a second, let's say, dog shot, or you know, that spaying and neutering is more healthy for your pet no matter what age they are, or,
right,
you know, just a number of various different subjects that, you know, that we talk about.
That's a great program. That's a great program.
Yeah, that's my favorite. When I a lot of rescues don't do everything that we do. And that's what I loved the most about Almost Home, is because
the educational outreach.
Yes. Yeah. No, I've never heard of anyone doing that. And literally, I mean, we've helped them. They were the dogs got hit by a car, couldn't afford medical treatment. And the dog's paw was broken and was neglected and left like that.
Oh,
and
no.
Then they called us. We reached out and, you know, eventually, you know, yes, we did have to amputate the leg, but the dog is not suffering, not in pain, and it's doing fantastic. If it wasn't for us, they don't have resources. We're the only ones. Okay, yes, we'll help you.
Right.
And I love that.
But had they taken care of that paw sooner, we might not have had to amputate?
Exactly.
Oh, see.
But
yeah.
They don't have the money.
Or the knowledge.
Yeah. They don't realize, oh, I think the leg's broken.
Yeah.
And
see, it's hard for me because my animals are like my kids. You know, it's like they become part of my family.
Yes.
And it's just like the world is.
Well, that's why I love our rescue.
You know?
There's no judgment. We're here to help.
Yeah, without a doubt.
If you financially can't do it, if you're not knowledgeable about animal welfare, we're here.
Yeah.
And we step in and we follow through.
Yeah.
We don't just say we're here to help and not.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And we go every month, we check on all of our families, make sure they're okay, they're doing good. We supply food. A lot of them don't want to surrender their pet. But they financially can't afford the food.
Right.
We supply it.
Wow. So
we
so
do everything to keep them in their homes.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it's.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's called Almost Home, because you want them in a home.
Right.
And then once they're in the home, it's less expensive to just provide the food than to provide the care and the food and everything else. So to that end, now you're providing this food. And so, how are you paying for the food, girl?
Wow. We constantly send out. Shout outs, you know, we need food, we need money.
So it's donations.
It's all donations.
So you're 100%
100%
by donations.
And if there are no donations, then volunteers and the people that do work there dig into our own pockets.
Wow. How many volunteers do you have currently? About
30, maybe 25.
Wow. That's significant. That's really significant. And where do the donations come from? So if I go to almosthomeli.org, I can make a donation?
Absolutely.
And any amount?
Any amount.
Do you have it so it could be automatic every month?
We would like to have that set up, but you know, it's really the person that would have to initiate that.
Right.
People could come in to us directly, mail us anything, you know.
Do you also take donations, like supply donations, things like that, like food and treats and towels and blankets and bedding and
cleaning supplies, bleach, all that stuff.
Did they have to be new?
No. But fairly,
I mean,
slightly
gently
used.
Gently used. Okay.
Yes.
So gently used stuff and cleaning supplies like bleach and Dawn detergent. Oh my God, I love Dawn detergent.
Yeah, paper towels. Laundry detergent.
Yeah, Clorox.
Clorox wipes.
Yeah. What do you use all this stuff for? To keep the area clean or?
Yes, but we most of the kennels, we have to use a special product called Kennasol, which is expensive. But that's the only thing that will kill everything.
Is that
and
why you have
safe.
To use that?
And it's safe, where Clorox is not safe for dogs.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Right, and we use Rescue Cleaner, which is a separate cat rescue cleaner that I usually purchase. But it's specifically will kill certain things with cats, like ringworm or, you know, other things where dogs and cats have different needs.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, so I usually we use Rescue Cleaner in the cattery, which can be purchased on Amazon. Certain things can be purchased on Amazon. I'm not sure about Kennasol.
No, Kennasol's hard to get.
Yeah. But like, you know,
you have to be a rescue.
Terramycin, certain things,
right.
You know, flea and tick
meds. Flea and tick and heartworm meds and stuff like that.
We need that desperately, yes.
Yeah. And what kind of over-the-counter medicines do you like donated?
Well, a lot of some of our dogs are on like Benadryl. They're on an acid reflux.
Stop it.
No, seriously. Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Really?
Omeprazole, which is the generic for Prilosec. Yeah.
I could so relate.
Imodium.
How do you know? How did they tell you? How do you find this out?
The doctor. The doctor exams. And based on the symptoms and then their findings. They'll say, okay, the dog needs to be on this.
It's so funny that you say that because I at one time had three pups at the same time. And one of my pups, well, they were all rescues, but one of my pups, her belly was like on fire red. And I found out that that indicated she had an allergy and that allergy was to red meat. Ooh. And so, you know, I don't allow any of my pups have red meat. They can only have chicken based. And no fish based. It's just my rule. But from that, I found out she was actually a vegetarian. I had a pup that was a vegetarian, didn't like meat at all. She just didn't. But when I, and she definitely was owned by an Italian woman. And I'll tell you why. Every Sunday when we made sauce, she'd go nuts in the kitchen. I'd be chopping up vegetables and I'd give her peppers and things like, she would eat peppers, lettuce, and she would eat all of that, and the sauce smell, I think, was reminiscent for her, and she was so happy. She'd actually, like, do this, like, prancing dance, like the Clydesdales.
Oh, I love that.
And it was just so cute, and I was like, you must have been in a home with an Italian mom, because you have all the makings of that. But, yeah, she was a vegetarian, so I could only feed her like vegetarian food. And my other pups only get like chicken-based food and things like that. And I keep getting better and better food for my pup because it's like just shy of boiling chicken for her, you know? Speaking of which, well, like, what are the good foods to give our children, our little babies, our little fur babies?
Well, unfortunately, you know, whatever we can get, we use.
Sure.
But I always recommend people when you adopt, speak with your vet.
Yeah.
Your vet will be able to supply a lot of answers for you. And they're the ones that are going to have their hands on your dog or cat. They're going to know what their problems or issues are and what's best for them.
Yeah, and find out if they have an allergy or something like that.
Yes, like we have a couple of dogs at the rescue that can't have chicken.
Yeah.
They're allergic to chicken. So,
it was amazing. It cleared up almost immediately too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it changed her. She was a changed pup.
Absolutely.
You know, the energy came back. It was just like a typical child, like, okay, I feel good. And then she was out of control. So she was she was an Italian greyhound, a mini.
Oh, you had one. Yeah. Oh, those are great.
She looked like a black and white version of my Jack Russell.
Oh.
Who was brown and white, but she had really.
Yes.
She was very prissy looking, you know what I'm saying? She was
we have a majestic. Jack Russell Chihuahua mix right now.
Oh
at the
my
rescue.
Gosh, that's a whole lot of energy.
She is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a whole lot
She's
of energy.
Beautiful.
I love that.
She's adorable.
Yeah, they're so much fun. They're so playful.
Yes.
So yeah. I'm so happy that I rescued as many as I did, and now I'm down to one. And she's a rescue too. It's so funny because her mom was rescued and I was supposed to have mom, but somebody else got her before I did. And I was very disappointed and I got a call a couple hours later. So about mom, she's pregnant. Would you want? And I was like, I'll take a pup. And sure enough, you know, months later I was able to pick and the litter was 14 pups.
Oh, wow. I'm dealing with eight right now. I thought eight was a lot.
14 pups. And of course, the one I picked was the mischievous one. Her eyes weren't even open yet. And she was still trying to climb out of the box. I'm like, that's my pup. So it's so cool. And we have a pup reunion. We have a sister and brother reunion once a year to bring all the pups back together so that they can see each other and see
nice.
If they, and they, it's seemingly like they recognize each other.
They do. They've been, it's scientifically proven
really?
That they do recognize their litter mates.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. They just get back together like, you know, kids play.
Yes.
And they just started climbing all over each other. And as they get older, they still climb all over each other as if they, you know, when they were born. So it's so rewarding. So how else can we donate? I mean, can give me other examples of how people can donate to you to help support you, to help support what you're doing.
Well, our main thing are sponsorships because that would be steady.
Yeah, talk to
predictable.
Yeah, talk to us about the sponsorships. What kind of sponsorships are out there?
So we're working on creating a dog and cat sponsorship program, bunny program, trying to get with everybody to do monthly sponsorships, mm-hmm. to post something consistent on Facebook where we can start there. We do want to get out to local businesses and see if anyone, any animal lovers would like to donate to us monthly. I mean, we have a few sponsors on our website. Like we do have World's Best Litter. donates all of their litter, all of our litter to us. Wow. We are working on a Purina sponsorship to try and get Purina to donate food for both dogs and cats. And, you know, so, but we are a fairly small rescue, and these are new areas, I guess I would say, for us.
Yeah.
New programs and new outlets we're trying to.
Well, and I'd love to help you guys with that, because I have a couple of ideas on how to put those packages together and to go out and get sponsorships from local businesses. So after the show,
awesome.
let's just chat about it, because I have a bunch of ideas that have worked in other places.
Thank
that
you.
Would, you know, definitely be easy enough to put into play. And yeah, the number one thing for anybody's success is consistency and being out there in everybody's eyes. So utilizing social media is real important, because social media is so inundated at this point, you feel like your message isn't getting out there, but our messages always get to the people that we're supposed to get to. So I can guarantee you that, like, this conversation will reap benefits, as well as being out on social media, like you said, in a consistent way where you have those things going out. And we can talk more about how to do that in a really easy way where it doesn't become a daily thing for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. It gets done, right? It gets
yes.
done.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else you want to tell our listeners that would be important for their decision-making process in donating? And I love your stories about your animals, those loving stories. So what's your number one loving story that you remember, you know, of one of your animals that you currently have or have had in the past?
Oh, I have one.
Go ahead.
My Droopy. We get a.
Of course you do, Lita.
Yes, of course I do. We do a lot with Down South. And Down South has high kill shelters. And my Droopy, the family decided at age 11 that he was too old for them and dropped him off at a high kill shelter. Oh. So one of the other women who, you know, started this rescue knows people there, and they always give calls. We got this great dog. There's no reason this dog should be put down. And we'll pull him, and we bring them all at our own expense. So we bring Droopy and had a home. But then he tested heartworm positive, because a lot of animals that come from the South are all heartworm positive, because the mosquitoes there, the climate, the humidity, and they don't do heartworm preventative. So the chances of a dog not getting heartworm is very slim, unless you have monthly preventative.
Right.
So he came, and then no longer they didn't want him, because it's a 4-month or longer process. So
4-month or longer process for?
To kill the heartworms, okay. If you're lucky enough. And so they needed a foster.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll take Droopy. And
of course you did.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
That dog was not going. Yeah, this is going to become the Droopy show. Yes, my
We're
love.
We're taking sponsorships for Droopy?
No, he's mine now. I'm supporting him 100%. Yeah, he came, so the shelter already started him on an antibiotic, doxycycline, which kills the Wolbachia bacteria, which heartworm need to survive. It's a parasitic relationship.
Okay.
So the Wolbachia can't live without the heartworm, and the heartworm can't live without the Wolbachia
gotcha.
Bacteria. So when you start them, not all places do that, but they started him a month on that. That kills the Wolbachia bacteria, so that when you start the first injection, you have a better chance of getting the heartworm right away. It's a process. So the first month, it gets an injection. The second month, another injection. The next day, another injection. And then a final one the following month. And then after 5 months, then they get their blood work, and hopefully it's negative. It's a long process, and it's very hard to get people to foster these dogs, because...
How is our Droopy now?
He is amazing. I love him to death.
So you get, not only did you save him from heartworm.
From death. Because the family didn't want him, but
she's
then.
A foster fail.
No, it's a foster positive, because he found a forever home.
Right.
You can look at it however you want.
So the definition of foster is temporary, is it not?
No, we do need fosters that it can be temporary.
No,
we do.
I love that. But Droopy became part of your family.
Oh, yeah. I knew the minute that little thing walked in the house that he was staying. But, you know.
What a great story, though. That's a beautiful story. It's a save, you know, yes. And I'm sure that Droopy has given back in to you, because that's what I find is my pups probably give me back more than I give to them.
He just makes me happy. I mean, I love all my animals. I've loved all my animals, but he just makes me happy.
Yeah.
Even when he pees on the floor, I don't care. He just makes me happy. He's adorable. I just love him to death, and I feel so honored and blessed that he's mine.
Yeah, they are. It's special. Animals are special, and how we treat animals is how we treat humans. And so we need to show our children how to properly treat animals so that they properly treat each other and so on and so forth. It is actually a cycle, and that is statistical, that if you have someone not treating animals well, they are not, statistically speaking, they are not treating people well. Generally, they're not treating themselves well. And that's where it all stems from. So we can stop that by really educating our children on how to properly take care of animals so that maybe these shelters one day won't be needed and you can have another hobby, which became a profession. So in the last few minutes, and thank you so much for being on, what's your favorite thing about your job?
The animals. Of course, there's nothing better than unconditional love and just... being able to help them.
Beautiful. And what's your favorite thing?
Of course, the animals, but also the wonderful people that I've met.
Yeah.
I've gotten a true group. Family. Yes. The volunteers were just, I'm very fortunate. You meet amazing people that you normally wouldn't have met. And you know they're good because of they're doing God's work. So
absolutely. Yeah, everybody I've met from your organization is just like one is more amazing than the other, and they all start at a level of amazing. So the give back and the hearts on all of you is just so comforting to know. We see there are a lot of good people out there.
There are. I tell that to everybody. You just have to know where to look.
Exactly. So almosthomeli.org, almosthomeli.org. Please, please, please reach into your pocket. Reach out to them. Please donate. If not money, maybe some of the supplies we mentioned. I'll add that to the bottom of our broadcast, rather, so that you can also see what is needed. In the meantime, thank you both for being on. Dawn, Lita, appreciate
both
of you.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You all for joining us on Healthy Lifestyle with Lori, and I hope we earned the privilege of your time. And of course, if you're looking for a business coach, accountability, strategy, direction, a sounding board, or someone to help you streamline your business, just reach out to me. I would love to help you. You could call me at 516-983-3591. In the meantime, we'll see you next Saturday right here on JVC Broadcasting. Until next time, play a higher role, serve a higher purpose, show up for you, and show up big, huge. Thank you, ladies. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.